Hey, so I got a colonoscopy. What's good, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy, Five Mike's husband, father, educator, writer, MC. The microphone gives me wings. And this is the Idea of Manhood podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Yeah, so I did it, y'all. I did it. Congratulations to me. Cleaning out my colon and getting it checked. And I made it, y'all. I did it. You know what I'm saying? And I say all this in jest. So with that said, this episode will contain a lot of jokes, a lot of realness, a lot of reality. I'm straddling the line between being a mature older man at 47 years old and still sometimes having the sensibility of a teenager. So I might use words like doo-doo. I might use shit. We're going to see where this is going to take me. But no, in all seriousness, it's important for me in the style of content that I deliver to always infuse, you know, humor, reality, honesty, authenticity through this process. I think there's some things that people take for granted in terms of, you know, when it comes to medical procedures, especially men, especially black men, we cannot, especially, you know, in situations like this, compare ourselves with women. Like, you know, women, I'm saying women, men, black women, like I'm using a lot of very broad strokes on purpose, understanding that, you know, men are not a monolith, black men aren't, women aren't, black women aren't, and every experience is not the same. Like, even if we go through the same process, the way I experience it is going to be different. So I think that's important as I shed light on this story from the perspective of a black man. We all know, well, see, I can't even say that. We don't all know. Black men are, I did some research, but I don't have it in front of me, so I'm freestyling. But colon cancer, black men and black people are impacted at a much higher rate because historically of our diet, because historically, you know, due to our, you know, our DNA, our history, our family history, you know, where we come from, where, you know, our what we're used to, our habits, right? And I didn't really, it's like some things you know, like just cognitively, and then once you start to talk about it and experience, like, oh, I guess that's right. That's kind of messed up. But yeah, black folks are more likely to die from colon cancer and to have colon cancer because of our diet. Point blank, plain and simple is what I read, you know. And this is not a history lesson. This is not cultural ethnography, you know. I'm not going to go into the reasons why today. But we all know, like, our history in this country, the foods we were allowed to eat at different times, what we had access to, what we can afford, again, stereotypically and from a reality perspective. And all of these factors lead to black folks, you know, experiencing disease in a much more harmful and deadly way. And that's real. And so I just want to highlight that the reason why, you know, it's so important for black men to get colonoscopies is because historically our diets and our habits lead to us dying at a much higher rate. If I remember correctly, the highest rate of all genders and ethnicities is black men dying from colon cancer. And also from what I read, colon cancer is the easiest to diagnose. It's the easiest to eradicate, you know, in terms of they find something to take care of it and get it out of your body ASAP. So getting checked and getting screened and getting regular colonoscopies after a certain age is essential for our longevity and for our health. So I shared the story of me starting the colonoscopy process and drinking the juice, which I'll talk about in a second, online very intentionally because, one, you know, a lot of times men take, you know, we don't be going to the doctor like that. Like, we, you know, I'm thinking of my wife and a lot of the women I know, they experience a pain, boom, they're calling the doctor and then they're in the office, you know. I might have heart palpitations for years and not tell a single soul. And that's very common to a lot of Black men. Why? I don't know if I can go into that right now. I'll explain for me. It's just the whole thing. Like, it's a whole process. I called a doctor. Yeah, my knee hurts. It's been hurting for 5 years. I got to call the doctor and go in. They're going to tell you, they're going to sit you down for a couple. I don't got time for all that. I'll just suck it up until it goes away. And that is not just me. That's how a lot of us men think. We be busy, man. We got things to do. You know, the society, this is a grandiose statement. Society don't be taking care of us like they take care of other folks. You know what I'm saying? They don't be as empathic. They don't be as caring and concerning. Prime example, you know, I shared online on purpose. So everything I put online, the words I choose are very intentional. So I put online like, yeah, you know, I'm feeling away about getting this colonoscopy, y'all. You know, I don't know. I'm not scared, but I'm feeling blah, blah, blah. And like automatically all the women on my timeline was like, you be all right. You be all right. It's not that bad. Like, not saying suck it up necessarily, but exuding that kind of energy, like, yeah, you be all right. I had 8 colonoscopies. It ain't all that bad. So, yes, that's important. That narrative is important. And at the same time, if you are concerned or having concerns about medical procedures, if you are scared of the doctor's office, scared of doctors, and not scared in the sense of, like, oh, I'm scared, I can't do it, but just like, you know, people die in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, our brain a lot of times goes to the worst case scenario. And when I put the information out about me getting it, it was just interesting to me how many women were like, not necessarily diminishing my fear, but just like, ah, yeah, yeah, it'll be all right. You'll be all right. You got this. All right, cool. Maybe that's the right line to take, maybe not. What I also notice is that when I put that out there, a lot of men, a lot of Black men reached out to me. A lot of Black men hit me up on the side, you know, don't tell me about it. You good? You gonna be? Or the men that did have it would just approach me in a different way. So I think the lesson there could be that, you know, for something as sensitive as a colonoscopy, and as unknown to a lot of Black men as a colonoscopy, having, I don't know, a sense of a different approach is better. So when folks, after it was done, and I'll talk about the whole process, but after it was done, some people called me, text me, like, yo, how was it? And I was like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, you just drink the drink and da da da. I was very specific and told them, yes, you have to drink a... All right, y'all. So this next part, it gets a little bit into the details. So I just wanted to pause right here. If you don't like the word doo-doo, if you don't like the, you know, the thought of emptying your bowels, I'm going to just talk about it real in the next segment. So just putting this here for those that might be a little sensitive. Get your minds right because we're going to have some fun with it. All right. Yeah, you know, like, you have to drink a gallon or more of this drink that kind of tastes like Gatorade with a little poison in it. You know, it tastes like Gatorade with Tylenol flakes in there. And it's going to empty out your bowels. So I feel like, again, cognitively, we know the drink is to clear out your bowels. But what does that mean? Like, what does that do? How does that feel? And I feel like a lot of guys, a lot of people, I'm sure women, like, are scared of that. Or like, scared is not the right word. Curious, you know, worried about, like, am I going to be in the bathroom? Like, uncontrollable, you know, have to hold on to the sides of the toilet type thing. And I just think it's better to be specific. So you drink the poison drink, and you know, the first couple times you doo-doo, and I'm just gonna use doo-doo because I'm gonna keep it, you know what I'm saying? I feel like it's important to just be like, I'm speaking your language, you know what I'm saying? I can be like, oh yeah, the first time you move your bowel, nah. The woman, y'all can use the exact language. I'm gonna use doo-doo. So doo-doo's a funny word. Anyway, when you doo-doo, right, it, you know, comes out, the first couple doo-doos come out normal. And, you know, what you're kind of used to. You doo-doo and you get about your business. But as you get to about three-quarters of the half or halfway done, what you quickly start to notice is that as your intestines clear, it starts to come out differently. It starts to become more liquidy. It starts to, you know, the consistency of it changes. And there is absolutely, for me, I'll say this, for me, there was a sense of you have to let go. This is wild. Like, you have to let go and let God. Like, you got to be in the bathroom. Like, you can't be afraid to doo-doo. Like, that sounds crazy, right? But that's the best way I could describe it. Because you feel what's happening inside of you. Like, you could feel the medicine scraping. And think of it like the medicine is scraping the inside of your intestine. Anything that's in there, that junk gotta be squeaky clean. So when the scope goes in, it can see what it can see, right? Because the scope is checking for bumps, is checking for polyps, is checking for, you know, any abnormalities. So you gotta get all the doo-doo out. And so doo-doo is doo-doo. Like, we know what it is. It comes out. We doo-doo every day. But as you go through the juice, the poison juice, it's literally taking everything out of your intestine. So you know sometimes you wash your face or you, like, wash your body or your shoulders or your legs or something, but you can still take your fingernails and rub and scrape down the sides of your legs that you just washed or your neck that you just washed, and it's a whole bunch of dirt. And like, damn, I just washed my face. The medicine is scraping all that dirt out of your intestine, right? And so that process, so you're doo-dooing differently. It's no more clumps, it's no more plops. It is all, it's liquid, it's coming out very much once you get towards the end of that bottle. Once you get towards the end of that bottle, the bathroom experience is unlike anything I've experienced. Maybe y'all have experienced that. Listen, do we want to be, you know, I'm saying, do we want to be kids here or do we want to be adults? I'm gonna tell you what happened, okay, in a childlike way. Anyway, so in essence, towards the end of that bottle, you are literally, it feels as if you were urinating through your butt. Like, that's, hey, listen, you want the real or not? Like, I'm giving it to you like I wish it was given to me, because I didn't know. I was in the bathroom like, what is happening right now? And it was, I text my wife from the toilet, and I was like, this is really interesting. I feel vulnerable right now. Like, I feel exposed. You know what I'm saying? Because where you kind of clench when you're in the bathroom, and whatever comes out, and then you get up and then you're done. This, you gotta let go, y'all. Like, you gotta let go and let God. Whatever comes out. But here's the good part. The good part is it doesn't hurt. There's no pain. You know, sometimes if you have diarrhea, if you've had diarrhea in the past, or a drunken diarrhea, or you eat something wrong, there's like a pain associated with doo-dooing. There was no pain. It was literally, Lauryn Hill has a song, it's called "It's Just Like the Water." It's just like the water. I ain't felt this way in years. I've never felt like this in my life. The way what was happening in my body, right? And I'm being this explicit on purpose. I'm being funny on purpose, because this is literally something I wish I would have known. And it's important that, you know, in all seriousness, like, we are liberated through our stories, right? We tell our stories, it liberates us, and it liberates the folks that are experiencing or have experienced the same things that we have. And so when people tell you, oh, you just drink the solution, it's not a big deal. That's the worst part. And people were telling me that for months. That's the worst part, drinking the solution. How could drinking the solution be the worst part? I didn't understand. Now I do, because you're pretty much spending 24 hours next to the toilet. You get a feeling in your stomach like, uh-oh, this feels like I might have to pass gas. But let me tell you something, another rule. Don't trust that gas. Don't trust that gas feeling. You try to fart, it might be a mess. hey, you want the real or not? So they say don't trust the fart. You got to go in that bathroom and just like the water, just let it happen, y'all. Just let it happen. And this is advice, again, I wish I had. So you drink the whole bottle. You're pretty much pooping for... doodling for, you know, a good 18 hours straight, to the point where at the end you're doodling and you're just passing the liquid that you just drank. I don't know scientifically if I drink water for a day, right? If all I drank was water for a day, I'm gonna pee. Like, you urinate, like, you go, you stand up, guys, you pee, right? For this, you're drinking a liquid, but you're not peeing. You know, you might pee regularly if you're drinking whatever you're drinking otherwise, but you're not peeing. Whatever you were peeing is coming out in a completely different way. That's important. Another piece that was challenging with the, you know, the day leading up, the couple hours leading up, is that you can't really eat anything either. They tell you not to eat anything solid. I had some fat-free Greek yogurt, vanilla flavor, that was good, but I didn't even really want to eat. I just drank tea, drank some coffee, drank some water, and then drank the solution. So you are hungry. So that's another piece that is pretty important to know. Like, you're hungry. But again, there's no pain in your butt. There's no, you know, you don't have like cramps or anything. You don't have like severe cramps. The cramps, quote unquote, that you have is just like your bowels moving and that medicine scraping the inside walls of your intestine. So that's that, fellas. That is really the hardest part. Now, physically, that's the hardest part physically. There's another hard part that a lot of men have an unnatural fear of, and that's the colonoscopy itself. And so when my daughter asked me what a colonoscopy was, I explained it like this. What is a scopy? Anytime you hear the word scope, scopy, endoscopy, colonoscopy, you know, tethoscope, that's something that you're viewing, a camera, you know, something that you're seeing. So that's the scope part. Then I told her, what's your colon? She's like, your butt. I was like, okay, put them together. A camera that looks at your butt, right? Looks inside of your colon, your butt, right? And so the unnatural or natural fear that a lot of men have is, yo, I don't want nobody playing with my butt. All right. Again, we don't have the time to break down the problematic nature of that. It's not problematic. It's a very natural fear, right, for men. Do I want to say straight men? I don't know. I mean, it's a common and uncommon fear of straight men to be like, yo, I don't want nobody. Hey, you're going to be playing my butt, yo. That's real, and we can't sweep that under the rug. We can't be like, oh... It's a homosexual fear or maybe it is, whatever it is, it's a real fear that a lot of men have, and it's a fear that prevents guys from doing this. It's a fear that, you know, that makes guys wait. They're like, ah, I'll do it another time. I'm gonna play with my butt, yo. Guys, let me tell you, it's not like you're awake looking in the doctor in his eyes as he puts a camera up your butt. It's not that. It's not like he's taking you out to dinner and then after dinner, he puts some Vaseline on a camera and puts it up your butt. Like, that's not reality, guys. The reality is they put you to sleep. For me, you know, they gave me some propofol. We got to talk about that propofol too. They give you some propofol, which is the drug that Michael Jackson used to get some sleep. which is wild. Another story. We'll talk about that later. But they give you the propofol intravenously, and they put you to sleep. You're knocked out. Someone could slap you in the face. The doctor, the anesthesiologist told me, you know, I can call your name very loud and you won't know. That's how knocked out you are. And then I woke up in the recovery room. Didn't know nothing. Didn't feel anything. It wasn't sore. No pain back there. I walked out and that was that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is literally the extent of the procedure. It's relatively... Now, here's a fear that was unlocked for me as it was happening, is that because so many people kind of undersell the medical nature of this as they're telling you about it. So when you ask, like, how was it? People are like, oh, it's a breeze. It's no problem. It is a medical procedure. It is, you know, you're heavily sedated. So there's always risk with that. And they ask you to sign some papers, you know, saying that there's a risk. You can die. Like, you can go in there with the scope and it could tear the lining and you could bleed out. Is that going to happen? One in a billion chance. But the fear that was unlocked for me is that they roll you in the gurney and you're in a surgical room. You're in a room where they conduct surgery. You're in a medical procedure. The doctors are gloved and masked up. You're connected to all the beeping machines. You're in a place that looks like you're about to have a serious medical procedure. There's four or five people in the room. There's an anesthesiologist. There's two nurses and the doctor. So someone's monitoring your blood pressure and your heart rate. So if things like that shake you a little bit, if things like that, you know, give you the heebie-jeebies, then that's real, right? Like, that is something that kind of threw me off. I just thought it was going to be me and the doctor, you know, and that was that, you know. But there, you walk in, the doctor is gloved up to her elbows, mask on, you can only see her eyes, got the full scrubs on. It's a serious procedure that is also simple. But the ramifications of having it or not having it are so, so very real. Last thing I want to highlight is, you know, afterwards you're able to get your favorite food. You are heavily sedated. And so I was kind of groggy for a good 8 hours afterwards. I had the best sleep of my life that night. After it was done and you have your favorite meal, kind of chilling, people kind of leave you alone a little bit, guys. So that's another thing too. If you got to do the practice run or take kids to school or pick people up or do whatever, the doctors tell you, don't move, don't operate machinery, lay in the bed for a cool night and then wake up tomorrow and be refreshed. And that was absolutely what happened. It felt amazing. You wake up feeling refreshed. I lost 6 pounds, guys. So, you know, those of us that work out and, you know, run a lot like I do, it felt great to run today. Today was the first day I went back on the treadmill. It felt great. My knees felt awesome. I'm 6 pounds lighter, 6 real pounds. So I say that as a benefit as well. So I'm telling jokes and I'm having fun and I'm being immature, but I'm also being very real. Guys, you can do this. Not only can you do this, you need to do this. If you're over 45, if you have a history of colon cancer in your family, this is absolutely essential for us. It's a thing. Black men don't get this done. Oh, you know, in numbers, in serious numbers, right? We all saw Chadwick Boseman and, you know, his process. I really think his public, like how he publicly went through his struggle with colon cancer, was a wake-up call for a lot of black men, for a lot of doctors. I feel like they put some guardrails around the around getting your colonoscopy early and often if you need it. And so, yeah, I just wanted to demystify it a little bit. I'm doing research, y'all, for my, you know, I'm in the final stages of my doctoral degree, and part of my research highlighted the importance of humor for Black men and how a lot of times we use humor to talk about difficult situations. So that's why I utilize a humorous and authentic and real approach in talking about this process where they, you know, put a camera in your butt after you doo-dooed for 24 hours and that medicine poison scraped the doo-doo out of your system so that they can check and see that you all good. So that's my story, y'all. And please spread the word, spread this episode. It is okay. It is scary. I don't want to say it's a medical procedure. And I think for a lot of us, medical procedures are scary. Women, this ain't for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have babies. Y'all used to go to the doctor. Y'all have a yearly pap smear. You and doctors are friendly. The doctors treat you differently. They be so caring and understanding with y'all. Like, you've been going to the doctor since you had your period. Like, every year for a pap smear and a physical. And anytime you get a, you know, your heart skips a beat, you're like, oh, I gotta go to the doctor. So y'all have a different, you know, view for this than a lot of guys who probably have broken limbs and have not gone to the doctor. Real talk. I'm pretty sure I broke my toe a couple months back and no one ever knows. So what? I'm good. It's back. So, hey, y'all, this is the Idea of Manhood, Five Mics, husband, father, educator, writer, MC. Spread this message, y'all. It's so important. Have fun with it, guys. You can do this. The women in their lives, the men in their lives, support them through the process. Give them what they need. Do not belittle their fear or just say it's going to be all right. Because we know we are going to be okay. And it is a serious medical procedure and such an important one. All right, y'all. I'll holler at y'all later. Bye, Mikes. Peace.